Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is August 22, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about RBI allows recurring transactions up to 2,000 Indian rupees on cards. MasterCard, DTPW team up for contactless payments. MasterCard expands global partnership with Riot Games. Tink calls on national regulators to show flexibility around PSD2 deadline. Gambling Commission launches consultation on gambling with credit cards. Europe business lender Iwoka awarded 10M stipend. SEC fines Russian rating firm $269,000 for failing to disclose review payments. Austrian Telekom A1 now accepts cryptocurrency. Factum Protocol launches Pegnet stablecoin. In Latin America, Ripple makes remittance waves. How challenger banks are giving legacy players key opportunities. Chainalysis launches real-time alerts for suspicious cryptocurrency transactions. IPC and Cloud9 collaborate on voice trading system. Grovara CEO talks international, online B2B commerce. Digital banking and branches aren't an either, or proposition. Now let's get started. RBI allows recurring transactions up to 2,000 Indian rupees on cards. The Reserve Bank of India has announced that it will allow customers to make recurring payments of less than 2,000 Indian rupees without the two-factor authentication process. The bank will allow this by giving an e-mandate from September 2019. The move has been made to make digital payments to merchant, typically at Kirana and grocery stores where ticket sizes are small, more convenient. The decision is applicable for transactions performed using all types of cards, debit, credit and prepaid payment instruments, PPIs, and wallets. MasterCard, DTPW team up for contactless payments. MasterCard has teamed up with transportation solutions provider Cubic Transportation Systems and DTPW to enable tap and go payments at Miami's Metrorail stations. This service is expected to expand to the Metrobus service later in 2019, and will benefit travelers who use the public transit system in the city. In addition, MasterCard is working with Miami-Dade County Department of Transportation and Public Works, DTPW, to evaluate how transit tap-and-go payments can facilitate seamless integration with ride-share services. The launch of contactless payments in Miami builds off the work MasterCard is doing to transform transit ticketing in more than 20 U.S. cities. According to MasterCard, 60% of U.S. MasterCard volume occurs at contactless-enabled merchants. In New York City, where the MTA enabled contactless payments in the subway, the company has seen growth in contactless payments volume. MasterCard expands global partnership with Riot Games. MasterCard has expanded its existing global partnership with Riot Games League of Legends Esports on financial services. As the exclusive financial services category sponsor for the LCS, MasterCard will curate a wide range of priceless experiences and cardholder benefits across on-site event activations, via priceless.com and through other to-be-announced promotions. MasterCard will also partner with the platform to integrate payment technology. This checkout experience offers players tokenized checkouts masking their card number, making every transaction unique for those saving their cards and for those that are not. For over 20 years, MasterCard has partnered with organizations in sports and entertainment to enable cardholders to further tap into this passion through exclusive access, experiences, and fan engagement opportunities. LCS is the latest property to join MasterCard's roster of partners, including Major League Baseball, the PGA Tour, the Open, the Australian Open, Roland Garros, Rugby World Cup, and UEFA Champions League, among others. Tink calls on national regulators to show flexibility around PSD2 deadline. Tink, an open banking platform, has been calling on the national bodies responsible for overseeing PSD2 in EU member states to show flexibility around PSD2 implementation. The demand comes after an analysis conducted by Tink revealed that while a small minority 15% of financial institutions' PSD2 APIs meet the required functionality for an access interface, not even one meets the requirements to be compliant. The research shows that over a third, 36%, of the published APIs are not functional, presenting obstacles for TPPs trying to integrate with them. Moreover, 26% were still unavailable. This could impact third-party providers, TPPs, that create technology-based financial apps and products, all of whom rely on stable connections to continue offering the services that people in Europe have become accustomed to. As a result, Tink calls for flexibility around September 14, 2019 deadline to allow banks to catch up. On June 14, 2019, 3 months before the deadline, all banks were required to publish their access interfaces, or application programming interfaces, APIs, which would allow TPPs to access their customers' financial data to create new financial products. According to Tink's previous data, however, only two-thirds of banks did so, which gave third-party providers less time to integrate the new APIs. Gambling Commission launches consultation on gambling with credit cards. The Gambling Commission has launched a 12-week consultation on gambling with credit card, between the 14th of August and the 6th of November 2019. The Commission is consulting the public and all other stakeholders on whether there should be a ban on using credit cards to gamble or whether limits and restrictions on such use of credit cards should be introduced. While much of the earlier discussion focused on banning the use of credit cards for online gambling, the options open for consultation concern all sectors of the gambling industry, including online betting but also casino, bingo and lottery operators, along with high street bookmakers. The Commission's call for evidence in July 2019 raised related issues to imposing a ban, such as consumers using alternative forms of borrowing, such as overdrafts or loans, to fund gambling or whether a ban could require e-wallet providers to take action given operators have no means of knowing which method the deposit originated from when e-wallets are used. In the consultation documentation, the Commission states that, in the case of a ban, it would need to prevent gambling operators from accepting any payment via e-wallets unless e-wallet providers could prevent credit cards being used for online gambling through their facilities. If restrictions or limits were imposed, the Commission would need to make sure that any such limits or restrictions could be equally applied to the use of credit cards through e-wallets. Europe business lender Iwoka awarded 10M stipend. A 10 meters grant from Banking Competition Remedies (BCR) was awarded to Iwoka, one of Europe's largest business lenders, as announced by Iwoka in a press release last week. The funding is one of four 10 meters pool C grants from the Capability and Innovation Fund (CIF), which is awarded by BCR to help businesses improve lending or payment services to SMEs across the UK. The lender said it is also adding 13 million on top of the grant, creating a total investment of 23 million. The grant will enable Iwoka to open a regional office with at least 50 staff members outside of London. The grant will also enable Iwoka to grow its customer base to 150,000 and earmark 5 billion for Britain's SMBs. Since its 2012 start, Iwoka has loaned money to 35,000 UK firms and raised £350 million in equity and debt finance, London Loves Business reported on Wednesday, August 21. Winning this grant is a huge milestone for us, said Christoph Rieck, Iwoka's CEO and co-founder. We're confident that we'll be delivering on our commitment to make 5BN available to 150,000 SMEs by 2023. The finance firm recently launched a lending API, an industry first, and reached profitability at 48 million, double that of 2018. Iwoka is also hoping to address the 10 billion small business funding gap by making financing more accessible through new products such as its self-serve plug and play open lending platform. Iwoka is the only SME lender in the UK with the scale, level of experience and technology to dramatically expand and transform access to finance for small businesses, Rieck said. Our proven track record of industry firsts includes integrating with eBay and Amazon, being the first business to offer a lending API and being the first SME lender to integrate with open banking. Winning the grant enables us to accelerate our mission to make finance available to 1 million SMEs. The alternative small business lender raised $194 million in a February Series D funding round led by Augmentum Fintech. SEC fines Russian rating firm $269,000 for failing to disclose review payments. The Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) settled with Russia-based ICO rating for $268,998 to satisfy charges over undisclosed payments received for publicizing company's digital asset securities offerings, the SEC said in a press release on Wednesday, August 21. The SEC said ICO produced and published research reports and ratings of blockchain-based digital assets between December 2017 and July 2018, but failed to disclose that it was paid by certain issuers. ICO didn't admit or deny the SEC findings. ICO Rating billed itself as a rating agency that issues independent analytical research, and stated that its mission is to help the market achieve the necessary standards of quality, transparency, and reliability. The SEC found that the company violated the anti-touting provisions of Section 17(b) of the Securities Act of 1933. As part of the settlement, ICO agreed to cease and desist from committing or causing any future violations. The securities laws require promoters, including both people and entities, to disclose compensation they receive for touting investments so that potential investors are aware they are viewing a paid promotional item, said Melissa Hodgman, associate director of the SEC Enforcement Division. This requirement applies regardless of whether the securities being touted are issued using traditional certificates or on the blockchain. A pair of U.S. senators are trying to broaden the ability of the SEC to recover or claw back money on behalf of investors victimized in financial crimes. Specifically, the legislation from Senators John Kennedy and Mark Warner would extend the statute of limitations tied to those crimes from 5 years to 10 years. Currently, there is a 5-year statute of limitations on fraud or financial misconduct that was put in place by the Supreme Court in 2017. The new legislation would give the SEC a decade to pursue restitution, where funds recovered would go to the victims. The proposed decade limitation would give the commission a chance to spot and pursue hard-to-detect financial crimes, according to the lawmakers. Austrian Telekom A1 now accepts cryptocurrency. Austria's major telecommunications firm A1 is now accepting payments in cryptocurrency as part of a pilot project, the company said in a recent blog post. The company said it would begin accepting crypto payments at select stores, supporting Bitcoin, Ether, XRP, Litecoin, Stellar, and Dash. If the program is successful, it will expand to include other coin assets. During the pilot program, A1 customers will get a fixed conversion price for their crypto asset of choice at the point when they initiate their purchase. The company has also developed a means to help deal with the risks of price fluctuations with its partners Salamantex, Ingenico and Concardis. Paying with digital currencies is becoming more and more prevalent internationally, and every industry is affected. With our pilot operation in the A1 shops, we are testing the demand and acceptance of digital currencies in Austria, Markus Schreiber, head of A1 Business Marketing, said in the press release. The stores where the pilot project is live are the A1 shops Vienna Krentnerstrasse, Wien Mitte the Mall, Krems BHL Center, Graz Herrengass, Innsbruck Kaufhaus Tirol, Salzburg Europark and Linz Landstrasse. Alipay and WeChat Pay will follow in late August. He noted that this emergence has crept into just about every major economic sector, and as more people buy cryptocurrency, cash becomes obsolete. The pilot project is a one's way of seeing how digital currencies are in demand and used in the country. Established in 1881, A1 reportedly operates about 2.1 million landlines throughout Austria, with a customer base of about 5.1 million, more than half of the country's total population of 9 million. Schreiber said the slow rollout is in line with its aim to ensure safety and compliance. The safety of consumers and trade, as well as compliance with all legal requirements and provisions, have top priority, he said. In 2018, Austria teamed with Six Payment Services and MasterCard to make renovated Generali Arena a completely cashless environment. In terms of technology, Six brought approximately 80 point-of-sale POS terminals into the stadium, which can take all major credit and debit cards. Factum Protocol launches Pegnet stablecoin. Factum Protocol, the open-source developer-friendly blockchain platform, has launched Pegnet, a decentralized, non-custodial, fully auditable network of tokens pegged to different currencies. The Pegnet, built on the Factum Protocol, allows conversion to pegged tokens that track a wide range of currencies, and allow the user to maintain their value in a large set of currencies and assets, and make payments in any of the other pegged currencies and assets without a third party. Greg Forst, marketing chair of Factum Protocol, said, "Protracted processes and high transaction fees have hindered mainstream adoption of digital assets. The network of pegged tokens provides a mechanism for managing payments across jurisdictions that bypasses the slow and expensive processes associated with external third parties. We want consumers to be able to make payments with any of the assets in the Pegnet, such as assets pegged to Bitcoin or gold, and allow the merchant to convert those payments into the assets they need, like assets pegged to US dollars or euros. All without the friction of going through exchanges or payment processors. With Pegnet, users have the ability to pay people in any of 32 assets without going to an exchange or trading with another party. Additionally, transaction costs are about 1/10 of a cent, making them ideal for microtransactions. By providing high throughput, low fixed cost, and secure data entry that easily integrates with existing systems, the Factum Protocol solves the data integrity needs of today. Using blockchain technology, the Factum Protocol enables efficient immutable publication of data, benefiting people and companies by providing a source of indisputable truth and verification to all parties. Paul Snow, CEO of Factum Inc., the blockchain innovations company that built the Factum Protocol, said, "Today's announcement represents the latest milestone effort of our team of developers behind the Factum Protocol. The strong wave of momentum we've been experiencing is a testament to their ingenuity and continued persistence to address market demand across a myriad of industries." Pegnet enables solutions to a host of financial services use cases, and I am excited to see these solutions take shape. In Latin America, Ripple makes remittance waves. In Latin America, news comes this week that Santander Group is boosting its use of Ripple's technology to aid payments across what CoinDesk reported as a payment corridor in Latin America. As reported, the corridor would enable customers in Latin America to send money to the United States instantly, without fees, through the app OnePayFX. That app, the site noted, uses X-Current software. The move would be an expansion beyond the current deployments of OnePayFX, which lets customers in the UK and Spain send money to the United States across OnePayFX. Santander has not confirmed which countries would be connected to the corridor. Santander has a presence in Chile, Mexico, Uruguay and Brazil. OnePayFX has been deployed thus far by the bank in Brazil, UK, Spain and Poland. Volumes have tripled from January 2019 to June 2019. The site said that the corridor would not deploy the cryptocurrency known as XRP. Customers who were not doing international transfers are now using the service, customers who were using international transfer are now doing it more, and customers who had gone to use fintech competition have come back because of the OnePay offering, Cedric Menager, CEO of OnePayFX, said in the published report. The executive contrasted OnePayFX with Swift's messaging system, chiefly through the former's absence of fees. The expansion, he said, comes as the international payment experience in the Latin American markets is even less evolved than in the European markets. There are even parts of the Latin American market where it's almost impossible to do an online international payment. Separately, also in Latin America, banking service provider Bantotal is partnering with Bitix, a crypto exchange, to enable cross-border payments done in Bitcoin over the blockchain. Bantotal is based in Uruguay and services more than 60 different financial institutions across 14 countries, and as reported by CoinDesk, 20 million people use Bantotal's money management services. Through the partnership, banks will be able to access BitX services across a marketplace tied to the Bantotal B-Developers program. Bantotal is one of the biggest banking providers in Latin America and is a huge player not just in Latin American but the greater Pacific, said Sebastian Oliveira, founder of the Uruguayan FinTech Chamber, as quoted by the site. BitX helps convert fiat into Bitcoin and then back into fiat over the course of a transaction. If I want to do a payment from Argentina to Chile, I don't need to buy dollars with the Argentinian pesos, then transfer the dollars to the US, then move the dollars to Chile and exchange them into Chilean pesos, said BitX Chief Marketing Officer Manuel Beaudroit. I can just send a payment from Argentina to Chile directly, using Bitcoin. The executive termed this a form of peer-to-peer banking. Finally, in further evidence of tech-driven payment services in Latin America, Chilean electronic payments provider Currencybird has selected the AFEX Integrated Solutions Application Programming Interface (API) to expand cross-border payments through a range of currencies with an eye on serving thousands of Chilean businesses and private clients. How challenger banks are giving legacy players key opportunities. Challenger banks are pushing traditional banks to reboot their customer experience. In the latest digital banking tracker, Jamie Warder, head of digital banking for KeyBank, explains how artificial intelligence (AI) and machine learning (ML) is helping them challenge the challengers. Challenger banks are beginning to offer more robust suites of services beyond the mobile apps and prepaid cards with which they started. Such institutions are working to raise the necessary capital to expand their products and customer bases as they enter new markets. Challengers in North America, Europe, and Latin America raised $2.5 billion in new funding from January through July, and their customers opened more than 30 million accounts during that same timeframe. Challengers like Britain's Monzo and Germany's N26 are using that funding to create products and expand into new markets like the US, where they are measuring their services against legacy FIS. Jamie Warder, head of digital banking for KeyBank, noted that challenger banks' newfound popularity may be forcing legacy institutions to innovate, granting them more opportunities to better engage and serve customers. At the end of the day, in some cases, challengers are partners and, in some cases, they're competing with us. But I think what it does is it pushes us. It pushed us at Key to build a design center that we never had before. It pushes us to buy and acquire technology companies, he said. It's good competition, that is, making us better, it's making legacy institutions step up their games. Warder recently spoke with PYMNTS about how legacy operations are approaching their innovation strategies amid the rise of challenger banks, and why the latter institutions represent a key progression for the digital banking world. Legacy banks and the innovation game. Warder believes that both legacy and challenger banks have the same impetus for innovation and technological experimentation, customer engagement and satisfaction. Each institution tends to approach this differently, however. Legacy banks have the scale and the roots necessary to handle several diverse needs at once, he said, while challengers tend to focus on innovating in one particular area or aspect of banking. We're trying to make sure we're taking care of our clients from my 16-year-old daughter up to our biggest institutional client. We handle their payments, deposits and lending by our nature, we cover a lot of ground, he said. What I think these fintechs can do is focus on one area. They can bring a different way of thinking, it's about how modern technologies and data can make that better. Warder noted that legacy banks should utilize tools like artificial intelligence (AI) and machine learning (ML) for greater customer engagement outside of simple transactional banking, including areas like small business origination or lending. Many challengers and fintechs are starting to apply their solutions at the same scale as legacy banks as they become more prevalent in the market. Some of these challengers, when they do it right, they become legacy, Warder said, using payment provider PayPal as an example. I would absolutely call PayPal a competitor to the legacy banking system. It challenged way back when, it created scale, it created great products, and now, it is, a good old-fashioned competitor. I look at PayPal similar to how I look at Wells Fargo or Huntington. Legacy banks should have strategies to work with challenger banks and fintechs, as well as compete with or even acquire them, he added. KeyBank has done all three over the past few years. It has managed a four-year-long partnership with Avidy Exchange, and it recently acquired small business fintechs and lenders Bowles TR and Laurel Road. The bank also works with PayPal to provide features such as instant transfer. Legacy and challenger banks' innovation and engagement approaches will depend on consumers' perspectives. Many customers are now comfortable interacting with digital and mobile banking channels for transactional banking needs, for instance, but more complex services have yet to make the switch to these channels. Legacy banks and the digital banking shift. Physical branches still have roles to play in banking, even as more consumers turn to digital channels. Financial advice and wellness still have homes within physical branches and with human representatives, according to Warder, who believes such locations are an advantage for legacy banks. JP Morgan Chase and Capital One seem to feel the same, as they both are building new physical locations despite the increasing presence of digital challengers in the U.S. Let's be clear, there is a shift happening toward digital. You can't deny that, no data would say otherwise. What's interesting, though, is the transactional shift is happening much faster than the advice and sales shift, Warder noted. So, I think, branches matter, but they shift from being transactional to being more and more advice-driven places. Challenger and legacy banks alike will need to keep their fingers on the pulse of customer preference to remain competitive. Staying abreast of changes in the digital world is a full-time job for all banks, and those that best apply these changes will be able to challenge others for years to come. Chainalysis launches real-time alerts for suspicious cryptocurrency transactions. Chainalysis, the blockchain analysis company, today announced the launch of suspicious cryptocurrency transaction alerts in Chainalysis Know Your Transaction, KYT, the real-time anti-money laundering, AML, compliance solution for monitoring cryptocurrency transactions. It is the first compliance alert solution available across 15 cryptocurrencies. Chainalysis KYT alerts are designed to help cryptocurrency businesses and financial institutions mitigate exposure to regulatory and reputational risk by helping compliance teams focus on the most urgent activity and enforce compliance policies while better allocating resources. As lawmakers and regulators focus their attention on the industry, it is more critical than ever that cryptocurrency businesses demonstrate compliance best practices, said John Dempsey, VP Product, Chainalysis. Every minute counts when managing exposure to sanctioned entities, hacked funds, darknet markets, and other illicit activities, which is why Chainalysis is investing in fast, actionable alerts to help our customers mitigate risk across cryptocurrencies. Chainalysis KYT has always provided real-time transaction monitoring for large volumes of cryptocurrency activity to identify high-risk behavior, and now alerts are generated whenever a transfer involves a risky counterparty and crosses a value threshold. Alert levels include severe, high, medium, and low, and are based on factors such as category, service, direct versus indirect exposure, direction of funds, and amount. Alerts are available for all 15 cryptocurrencies supported by Chainalysis, including Bitcoin, Ether, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, and top stablecoins and ERC-20 tokens such as Tether, Maker, and DAI, with additional cryptocurrencies coming soon. With alerts functionality built directly into the user interface and API, cryptocurrency businesses and financial institutions can keep track of, investigate, or take action on risky transfers. Additionally, customers can customize risk parameters based on their own business policies to help allocate resources accordingly. As a New York trust company, we are required to monitor transactions on and off our platform, said Michael Brew, Gemini's chief compliance officer. Tools like KYT alerts, which provide real-time and ongoing blockchain analysis, coupled with Gemini's own compliance policies, help us meet our regulatory obligations. IPC and Cloud9 collaborate on voice trading system. IPC, a leading provider of communications and networking solutions for the financial markets, and Cloud9 Technologies, Cloud9, a leader in cloud-based communications, are working together to offer an advanced, open voice trading and collaboration solution. The integrated cloud-based service unites Cloud9's C9 Trader Voice Communications and Analytics Platform, IPC's Unigy Trading Communications Platform and the Kinexys Cloud Financial Ecosystem. This agreement will provide the global trading community with a unified solution for endpoint connectivity, mobility, advanced data analytics and business continuity planning. Users and firms will have access to one of the broadest worldwide communities of financial markets comprising top-tier buy-side and sell-side firms, inter-dealer brokers, trade life cycle providers and other key market participants. Benefits of integrating these award-winning services for the global financial community include seamless access to one of the world's most expansive voice trading communities, ease of transition to a cloud or hybrid environment, holistic data records and enhanced analytics capabilities, flexible subscription-based pricing that includes global end-to-end support, integration and interoperability with third-party workflow tools. Our next-generation voice communication solution paves the way for Cloud9 and IPC to become the platform of choice for the financial and trading communities, said Bob Santella, CEO of IPC. By working together, we are delivering a range of voice solutions that meet all end-user needs and address the demands of a rapidly changing marketplace. This agreement and the complementary nature of IPC's and Cloud9's businesses create significant value for the industry at large, said Gerald Starr, CEO of Cloud9. By working with IPC to deliver this transformative integrated solution, we're enabling firms to build smarter, more profitable and compliant business relationships. We were early investors of Cloud9 because we recognized the transformation on the horizon in voice trading, said David Hudson, Global Co-Head, Digital and Platform Services, JP Morgan. This partnership will provide the trading community at large a seamless upgrade and path to a cloud-based infrastructure, necessary steps to create a unified communication system across channels. In a major step forward, clients of both firms now have the option to select best-of-breed voice collaboration, telephony, data and compliance tools, creating a platform for more dynamic and efficient product development. Grovara CEO talks international, online B2B commerce. Doing business internationally has its rewards, with new markets to tap, and top-line growth in the offing. But tracking goods and payments as they cross borders can be fraught with challenges. To that end, Grovara said earlier this month that it is joining Stripe's partnership program and can connect with Stripe's existing user and partnership base. Grovara offers a B2B platform to streamline global trade for U.S. wellness brands and how they manage import and export activity. In an interview with PYMNTS, Grovara CEO Peter Groverman said the recent announcement helps close the loop on the company's proprietary technology platform. He said Grovara has a fiduciary duty to guarantee that the firm knows its customers. Due diligence is especially important when conducting business on an international scale. Grovara has built technology to automate, streamline and manage relationships with brands and buyers. Stripe's payment processing portal allows us to seamlessly transact in a trusted ecosystem with speed and security, he said. Payment processing is a major element of global trade, along with logistics and compliance, he added. Looking beyond the company-specific impact of the announcement, Groverman said, B2B on a global stage is especially well-served through an online marketplace model. That's especially true for U.S.-based wellness brands in which the wellness economy has been growing quickly, and only 6% of these firms sell internationally. Grovara has said it can bring brands global in 120 days. If done without the aid of technology and marketplaces, he said, firms face challenges in trying to export into new markets. The challenges are especially high when food is perishable, and compliance and logistics demand ingredients and shelf life be well documented. In an example of how technology can streamline export activity, Groverman said, we have a friend who sells chocolate-covered cherries from Michigan. He got an order from Mexico and shipped a container of chocolate-covered cherries to Mexico. When they opened the container, all the cherries had exploded. So, they shipped another container. Again, all the cherries were exploded. Because the container was going over the Rocky Mountains, elevation caused the cherries to explode. So, for the third order, they had to figure out navigation around the mountains and detouring. There are so many sensitivities with food, it's not just expiration. Using the cherry example on the Grovara platform, the next time something that has cherries is moving across the country to Mexico, that route will be flagged. Machine learning will remind us to not get caught in the altitude when shipping cherries, said Groverman, noting his firm functions as an international data warehouse. The company partners with SPINS, which helps with data across the North American wellness space, and X1, which verifies product information. Over the past decade, Groverman said, Grovara has built relationships with logistics providers, the U.S. government, and most recently Stripe, which have given the firm total command of the documentation, payments and invoicing aspects of global trade. He told PYMNTS that the company is in 45 countries, and it looks to be in 100 in 2 years. Right now Grovara covers natural food, beverage and nutraceuticals, he said. We want to expand into pet products, supplements and health and beauty aids. If you can export kombucha, you can export other things. The formulations and algorithms are all the same. Digital banking and branches aren't an either, or proposition. Banks are not just competing for customer engagement and retention, they are also vying for funding and resources as they overhaul their infrastructure and banking tools. The latest digital banking tracker examines how legacy institutions stay competitive with challenger banks. Competition can lead to innovation. Jamie Warder, head of digital banking for KeyBank, made the point that challenger banks' rising popularity may be spurring legacy institutions to innovate. At the end of the day, in some cases, challengers are partners and, in some cases, they're competing with us. But I think what it does is it pushes us. It pushed us at Key to build a design center that we never had before. It pushes us to buy and acquire technology companies, he said. Legacy banks would do well to have strategies to work with challenger banks and fintechs, or even acquire them. KeyBank has managed a 4-year-long partnership with Avidi Exchange and it recently acquired small business lender Bowls TR. The bank also works with PayPal to provide features such as instant transfer. The rush to digital. Smartphone usage and enhanced digital applications have been changing many industries, and banking has been one of the most transformed. A Citi study found that 31% of consumers say they use their mobile banking app the most. GoBankingrates found that 25% of consumers prefer banking with a mobile app, though nearly half preferred banking in person at a branch or ATM. Yet 76% said they wouldn't open an account with a bank that doesn't have a mobile app. That might sound counterintuitive on the surface, though it appears that banks offering mobile apps are attractive, but consumers would like to decide which channel to use. According to Fiserv, the preference for digital interactions, online plus mobile, is 58%, considerably ahead of the preference for branch interactions, 32%. Most of the shift over time can be attributed to the growth in mobile use. When breaking out online, though, there is a preference for online 37% compared to mobile 17%. There is a danger in the rush to compete via mobile, however, banks are trying to mimic other banks on mobile, said Hisham Salama, Bank of the West's executive vice president and head of digital channels, in an interview with PYMNTS. We had this realization, from a digital perspective, that in 3 years, if we're being compared to banking apps and we're comparing ourselves to other banking apps, we've taken a wrong turn somewhere. Branches aren't saying goodbye. Despite the clear digital preference in the Fiserv study, branches are not in danger of going extinct anytime soon. Half of consumers made at least one in-person branch visit in the past month, a figure that has held steady since 2018. Top reasons cited for visiting a branch were to deposit a check 53%, withdraw cash 41%, deposit cash 36%, or cash a check 30%. Just 14% went to a branch in order to speak with a staff member in person. JP Morgan Chase and Capital One appear to be aware of this, as they both are building new physical locations despite digital challengers increasing presences in the U.S. Let's be clear, there is a shift happening toward digital. You can't deny that, no data would say otherwise, said KeyBank's Warder. What's interesting, though, is the transactional shift is happening much faster than the advice and sales shift. So, I think, branches matter, but they shift from being transactional to being more and more advice-driven places. Trust is an asset. In the UK, some legacy banks have been relying on established trust with customers to keep them loyal. Newer fintechs might be unfamiliar to consumers and haven't yet built a reputation on safety and security. The previously mentioned Citi study, for example, found 87% of consumers would still trust traditional banks more than non-bank financial institutions. Because of this, many banks are taking a hybrid approach. BO, RBS's new standalone digital-first bank, is one example of traditional banks' efforts to capitalize both on customer trust and rising demand for digital-first solutions. Similarly, HSBC launched a money management app called Connected Money, which shows users' bank accounts from HSBC as well as rivals including Barclays and Lloyds. The future. In an interview with PYMNTS, Saurabh Bajaj, chief product officer at Feedzai, explained how advanced technology like artificial intelligence (AI) and machine learning (ML) can help legacy institutions to compete with challenger banks. Integrating customer data from every single source across an organization is the first step, then augmenting that data with customer data from outside sources, ultimately integrating all of the data into one system. Data integration is key. Having that single source of truth provides the backbone for a profound understanding of behavior patterns, because the more clean data that is fed into a machine learning system, the more you're capable of accurately scoring transactions. This is what creates real-time processing, he said. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.